This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. She's been called the female version of Jerry Maguire. Later in the show, we'll talk with Molly Fletcher about her career as a sports agent and get her advice on how to conduct successful negotiations. Joining me in the studio right now to talk about a successful negotiation is Cincinnati Mayor John Cranley. After almost 10 months of work, the city, its unions, and its retirees reached a deal last week on reforming Cincinnati's retirement system. WVXU City Hall reporter Jay Hanselman is also here, and you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Mayor, thanks for being here this afternoon.
It's great to be here.
You've called this an historic agreement. Why do you say it's historic?
Well, I think it's really the role model on how to tackle these issues for so many governments around the nation who have similar pension problems. Obviously, when issues are not solved, 10 years ago, roughly, San Diego's pension went bankrupt. Detroit, its pension largely drove its bankruptcy issues. New Jersey's, I think, on the verge of a pension bankruptcy issue, and on and on and on, that we came together as a community, voluntarily entered into a collaborative mediation and entered into a deal that will stave off bankruptcy, will preserve the pension for the retirees, create opportunity for pension for future workers, but keep the city's financial health on solid footing. And so I think it's the biggest deal, if you will, since the collaborative agreement 2002, which I was proud to be part of, and it certainly was a role model. The 2002 collaborative, which was police-community relations, which I think, frankly, could also be a role model right now for New York and Cleveland and Ferguson, and we have a history of tackling tough issues before they become crises. Well, in 2002, we were coming out of a crisis, but that has served us well. And our situation in police community is not perfect, but we are not having the kinds of issues that other neighborhoods and cities have had. And I think this pension will become a role model for the nation the way the collaborative has become a role model.
Did you have the idea to use the collaborative as when you were running for mayor? Or is that something you got into office and said, well, maybe we could try the collaborative approach to the pension issue, just like we did the racial issues in 2002?
No, I would love to take credit for that. But really, I give credit to Judge Mike Barrett, whose colleague, Judge DeLotte, was the judge in the collaborative agreement. And he really was willing to use, and just to set the stage here, what led to this were a couple of different things happening at once. One was that in 2011, the city had made a number of changes to future benefits to active workers, future hires, and had made some healthcare changes to retirees' benefits. That led to a number of lawsuits against the city by the unions, saying that we were changing the deal after they were defined, you know, whether or not these were promises that could be changed or not. And there had already previously been a change to retiree health care that had been litigated and the city won. And so these lawsuits were ongoing, and it was never-ending litigation, which is very expensive to the taxpayer, expensive to everyone, emotionally draining for everyone involved, because if you're a retiree, you're nervous about whether your pension's going to be there. We're nervous about whether we can deliver basic services because, you know, if we were told we had to pay $1 billion or something, you know, that would devastate the city's ability to run a city. So there's anxiety on all fronts. And Judge Barrett, having been in the courthouse with Judge DeLotte, thought, well, maybe this could be a model. And I got involved very early in my term, and he presented this idea. And you know, one of the things that I said was, well, at that time, the retirees were not part of the negotiation, and they're the key piece of this. And I said, how do we get them in? And part of getting them in is reminding them gently but solidly that the city had already won a lawsuit to cut their medical benefits, which they don't want to see cut any further, healthcare benefits as retirees. And so we were able to get a unanimous city council to give the manager the authority to cut the healthcare benefits further, If the retirees were unwilling to come to the table to work at a reasonable compromise, which I think the outcome is very reasonable, not no one's happy about having to cut their benefits, but I think it's the lesser of all evils. And I think that inspired them to want to be part of the discussion. And I think they care about their city. And Tom Gamble, who's one of the leaders of the retirees group and so many others, are people who care about this city deeply, who work for the city for many years, live in the city. And they understood, as they looked around the country, that something had to give. And I think that it's a one of the wonderful, wonderful cases in the city's history where the better angels of our nature, as Abraham Lincoln would say, ruled the day, and everyone gave in a little bit, and everyone gave more than we wanted to. But the outcome, I think, is phenomenal for the city, its reputation, for our credit. You know, 2 years ago, the city's credit was downgraded for the first time in a generation, and the pension was cited as the number one reason, the unfunded liability. State Auditor David Yost was threatening to put us on fiscal watch, which is a first step to receivership, which would destroy our reputation. We have to, like any city, borrow money to fix roads and do that kind of thing. You can't borrow money when you have credit issues. So the risks here were huge. And people always said to me, what worries you the most? And for the last year, I've said the only existential threat to the city, the only thing that can ruin all the wonderful momentum and progress that we're seeing in the city right now is the pension. And I'm proud to say, as your mayor, that threat has been eliminated. And we are on solid footing.
What role did the failed 2013 ballot initiative to overhaul Cincinnati's pension system play in prompting all sides to get something done about the pension once and for all?
I think it helped a little bit in the sense that the retirees and the active employees feared that while that initiative failed and we all opposed it, that something could come back, something different but similar. And that clearly strikes fear in the heart of all parties. And I think the idea of taking all of this into a federal consent decree, a judicial order, that trumps local law because it's a federal court decision, was attractive and helped eliminate the fear that something like that could come back and get on the ballot and pass. Because now, even if it did, it wouldn't trump a federal court order. So I think that helped. And it helped in the sense that the fear of something like that coming back, it was a horrible charter initiative. I'm glad that the people of Cincinnati voted it down. It would have been very bad for the city. Not only would it have cut benefits, which obviously actives and retirees don't like, but it would have bankrupted the city because it required us to hold harmless in such a way that we couldn't have afforded. And we needed changes in benefits to retirees to balance the budget, to balance the pension. And we ultimately got that in these negotiations. And so we ended up, from the taxpayer point of view, with a better deal than that charter initiative would have given. And it was sold as, you know, we're going to reduce the taxpayer exposure to pension issues. It actually would have increased taxpayer exposure. So the outcome was good, but the fear of something like that coming back again, I think, helped to motivate some of the parties to get involved.
In the long term, or I guess short term and long term, right away the city has to come up with, I think it's $38 million to put in to the pension fund. And I think the way I understand it, that's a yearly contribution you would have made anyway, plus another amount to bring it to $38 million. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, yes. So right now, the city is obligated legally to pay, I think, roughly $4 million a year to pay off for the next 7 years, to pay off an early retirement plan that was passed in 2008, I believe, seven or eight, which, by the way, as a council member, I voted against that plan because I thought it would hurt the pension system. And essentially what we're doing is, instead of paying it off over the next 7 years, we're going to pay it all off now, which gives the fund the benefit of earning interest and, you know, stock market returns on those dollars. and helps to buy down the liability today as opposed to spreading it out. And so essentially we're going to be using judgment bonds to finance that and spread it out over, say, 20 years. So the actual annual cost, it will be a reduction for the city, but that'll be made up for by the increase in the employer contribution from 14 to 16 and a quarter. So one of the big principles that I felt strongly about in these negotiations was a combination of generational fairness and predictability for the city budget. So under the old system, which is now essentially over, they had this thing called the annual retired contribution, or the ARC, it's called. And every year, the actuary was supposed to say, well, this year, based on stock market returns, the city should make this big of a contribution. And in good years, in the late 90s, when the economy was booming with the stock market bubble, the actuary would come to the city and say, you don't have to give any money this year because the stock market return was so great, you don't have to make any employer contribution. But then when you hit a recession in 2008 and 9, and the city is facing layoffs and has historic loss of historic revenues, they would come to the city and say, this year you got to make a $75 million payment to the pension system. Totally upside down. You know, you should not have to make payments when you can least afford it, and you should not get out of payments when you can most afford it. So the only real, and you can't predict when those cycles are going to come, so the only realistic way to have the city meet its obligations, and this is one of the big issues for the retirees, is they kept saying, well, the city hasn't made its ARC for the last, you know, 6 years, or not as much as was the actuary suggested. And they threw out numbers. Well, they owe us $400 million that we don't have sitting around anywhere. That the earlier models in the negotiations that kept the ARC alive, they look out over 30 years and say, well, here's how much money the city would make in contributions to the pension system over the 30 years. And in that model, they build in years where the stock market will boom, in which the city wouldn't have to make any contribution. And I said, look, no matter what the solution is, we need a fixed percentage that never changes, that you pay in good years when the stock market's booming and you pay in bad years when the stock market is down. That provides predictability. It provides stability. It's a reasonable number that the city can budget for continuously. And interestingly enough, the actuaries certified that a fixed percentage for 30 years, 16%, literally puts more money into the pension from the city than an ARC model. Because you're paying in years where under the ARC you wouldn't have to pay at all, you will be paying the 16%. And yes, you know, under the ARC model, a year that is down for the stock market, you're paying less than the ARC would suggest. But over the 30-year period, when you balance out the good years and the bad years, the city will be making a larger contribution to the pension system than it would have if we had kept an ARC model, which, by the way, wasn't even being followed. And now it has the benefit of being a federal consent decree, which will give the retirees and the actives the enforceability that the city cannot renege on its obligations the way it has under the ARC system over the last 7 years.
We'll continue our conversation about the pension fund agreement after the break. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining me this afternoon, Cincinnati Mayor John Cranley and WVXU City Hall reporter Jay Hanselman, as we talk about a new deal to fully fund Cincinnati's pension system. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Mayor, we've talked about the 16.25% contribution the city's going to make. What are some of the other elements of this agreement?
So the city is going to be making the $38 million that we talked about, which is front-loading the payments we owe under the early retirement plan, which gives the pension the benefit of the stock market returns and the interest on that $38 million, as opposed to the city getting the benefit of having to delay those payments. We're going to be making the 16.25% a payroll contribution forever, or 30 years. And we're going to be making a $200 million contribution out of the medical trust fund, which is overfunded in January of 2016. And we're doing that by reducing healthcare plans for future hires of the city. Essentially, people that are hired today by the city for the first time and spend the next 30 years working for the city. When they retire, they will get a pension, but they will not receive medical benefits. And so they'll be, you know, they can keep working until they're 65 until they get Medicare or whatever. But by freeing up that liability, we're able to transfer $200 million to buy down the liability today. So in addition to the 16 and a quarter, we're going to be making a $238 million contribution to the fund over the next 15 months, which clearly buys down the liability. And then when you add to that, that the retirees did agree to change their COLA, cost of living increase. They're taking a 3-year with no COLA at all. For the next 3 years, they will not receive any cost of living increase. Plus, the formula by which they get their COLA has been reduced. The same applies to all active employees and future retirees of the city. Plus, actives and future hires will have to work longer and live longer before they receive the benefits. So essentially, you know, with a roughly $800 million deficit in the plan, you know, pension's got about $2.2 billion in it. You know, if everyone, you know, when they talk about solvency, which is now, by the way, up to about 70% solvent, so it's already recovered because of the stock market gains over the last couple of years, about 10% of its losses, that when you reduce the liabilities by cutting cost of living increases, reducing medical benefits, asking people to work longer on a prospective basis before they receive their benefits, and the city coming up with $238 million in the next 15 months, plus a guaranteed 16 and a quarter for 30 years, the combination of all those things gets the fund to 100% over the next, you know, couple decades.
Any possibility the city would need to raise taxes to meet its contributions?
No, because that's one of the beauties of the deal is that it's a fixed percentage, 16.25. So it goes up and down with the city payroll, and it just got to be built into the model.
What happens next in this process? I mean, it's on paper, and actually, I was for 10 months and all the parties involved. I was rather surprised when I got the MOU. I was thinking, oh, this is going to be a couple of hundred pages. It was like 20 pages. I was actually shocked it was that short to read. So you've got the MOU now. What happens going forward?
Well, what happens now is over the next 30 days, it'll be admitted as a formal consent decree by Judge Barrett. I think they're planning to try to do that by January 31st. And then there's some period of time, I don't know if it's 30 days or 60 days, some period of time where people can object to the deal. And there's what they call in a class action lawsuit a fairness hearing. So Judge Barrett will have to determine whether he believes that it's fair, which obviously we think he will, since he was, you know, really the mastermind of the whole process. He really deserves a great deal of credit for this historic agreement, which I think is going to be a role model for the country. So then that's pretty much it. I mean, obviously, like any court decision, there will be somebody who doesn't agree with it and appeals or sues or does something, but, you know, that's not particularly scary to us, you know, because of the broad-based buy-in that we got from the unions, from the retirees, from the city. There's no question that that the classes of people that are affected were represented in the negotiation, and they all got benefit out of it. They got certainty. They got certainty that their pension is going to be there, although it's going to look a little different than what they had the day before. But the pension is still a very good pension, and the city has certainty in its budget, certainty for its credit rating, and it opens enormous freedom for the city.
That credit rating, I know you wanted this passed before the bond rating agencies came to town last spring.
Right.
And it was.
Yes.
And I think that was one reason why your rating held stable.
Correct.
Is there any thought that now that this is done, you did have a structurally balanced budget, that that bond rating could actually increase back to, I think at one time, wasn't it AAA plus?
Yeah. Well, I don't think that, I mean, I think the short answer to your question is yes, except I'm not sure it'll go back to AAA plus, but there's no question that this will at least stabilize, if not lead to an upgrade in our credit. This was huge for the city. If we didn't solve this, we would have faced additional downgrades. And now I think, given the fact that we've structurally balanced the budget and resolved the pension issues, I feel very strongly that we will at least maintain, which are still very good. We're still in the top 10% of credit ratings, but we were facing significant downgrades if we didn't solve the pension crisis. That was in March, and we expect that we'll be rated again by S&P and Moody's in March. So the end of the year was a real important deadline for us so that we could prepare ourselves for the next review of S&P and Moody's and be able to say them that when we told them last year that we had a solution to the pension but that it would take 10 months to negotiate, that we were telling the truth and that it's all come out pretty much as we predicted.
What's the possibility, and I think it's listed in the agreement, that you know once the health of the retirement system improves, that it could be rolled over perhaps into the Ohio Public Employees Retirement System?
You know, I think that's still a possibility. It will be a decision that will not be made by unlikely to be made by me or this council because of Ohio won't take it until essentially it's 100% funded. Under our plan, by middle of 2016, it's up to 85% funded, which is very strong. But to go from 85 to 100%, and most pensions are comfortable around 88, 90%, but we want our plans to get it to 100%. It'll take another 10 to 15 years, so it'll be beyond my terms, hopefully.
Mayor, you're confident, though, that this is going to resolve things with the retirement system on a permanent basis?
At least for 30 years, which is as close to permanent.
It's about as permanent as you can get.
As you get.
Well, Mayor Cranley and yeah. Jay, thank you for joining me this afternoon. Cincinnati Mayor John Cranley and WVXU City Hall reporter Jay Hanselman.